ringers. You're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Sarah Montague. Later in the show, we'll be celebrating 60 years of the Today programme with a very special look back at some of our most memorable radio car interviews. Who will ever forget?
Hello. Can anybody hear me?
Or this all-time classic.
Hello, is there anyone here? Can you hear me? Oh, sod it.
Top stories. Theresa May has told the Commons giving NHS nurses a pay rise would cost jobs, as they'd no longer need staff at all the food banks the nurses use to feed their families.
Jacob Rees-Mogg has named his new baby Sixtus. He announced the news on Instagram next to a picture of his other children. 5us, 4us, 3us, 2us and 1us.
Boris Johnson claims that Theresa May has got the show back on the road.
Yes, I've got the show back on the road. Sadly, it's a slapstick edition of Black Mirror.
And the G20 meeting is getting underway. This is a gathering of all the world's most powerful leaders. And Theresa May will be there too. Angela Merkel gave her thoughts on the Brexit negotiations.
Some people seem to think that we wish to punish Britain for leaving the EU. No, no. We wish to work together in a spirit of mutual respect to negotiate a mutually beneficial agreement which will crush Britain underfoot until it is begging for mercy. In a spirit of mutual respect.
As he arrived, President Trump spoke of his admiration for Poland.
I love Poland. I bigly love Poland. It is a bigly great country that has given the world so many incredible poles. From the North Pole and to the South Pole. I am, of course, looking forward to my meeting with President Putin. Maybe even a tinsy bit nervous, as this is going to be my first full performance review since taking the job.
People of Britain, this is your Prime Minister speaking. But if you're listening to the repeat, then all bets are off. I'm here to tell you about this government's exciting new legislative programme, as outlined in our manifesto. Now, we were going to reintroduce grammar schools, but the more I looked around the cabinet table, the less appealing selection by ability seemed to be. And we were going to abolish free school meals, but according to Boris, that would make us look heartless. And that's coming from Boris. And we scrapped a vote on bringing back fox hunting, as the nation's bloodlust was sated by tearing meat to bits during the election. So that leaves us with, we seem to have finished this government's legislative programme a little ahead of schedule. We have a bit of time in hand before the next parliament, so here's some music. Oh, you're still here. We still seem to have a bit of time in hand until the next parliament. Does anybody fancy a game of kaplunk?
You have reached Shadow Home Secretary Diane Abbott. If your call is in regards to the people of Hackney, press one. If your call is to stand in solidarity with me against the bullying, right-wing, racist and misogynistic media, press two. And if you're Jeremy, press three.
Three.
Jeremy, is this what I think it's about? Your long-awaited promise to me on that night in 1983. The one you made after we did that sponsored Tutting Against Fascism event with Billy Bragg and Oldham.
No, Diane, I just want to check that you are clear on Labour's Brexit policy.
Well, of course I am, Jeremy. Brexit is proving to be a millstone around our economy's neck, and that is why we oppose it.
Exactly. And we also support it, don't forget. We oppose it wholeheartedly in London, which voted overwhelmingly against it, and support it enthusiastically in the North, which voted overwhelmingly for it.
But, Jeremy, we can't oppose it and support it.
Well,
Diane, that is where you are wrong. You see, Labour's Brexit strategy is based on the work of one of the 20th century's greatest thinkers.
Karl Marx?
No, Erwin Schrödinger. Schrödinger's cat is the basis for Labour's Brexit policy. It is a policy which manages to be alive and dead at the same time. Bit like Len McCluskey's face.
That is a stroke of genius, but why are you ringing me? I'm not in charge of Brexit.
I need you, Diane.
Oh.
Desperately.
Oh. Oh.
What I need you to do is a series of interviews explaining that Labour's Brexit will have all the benefits of the single market by leaving it, as we leave and remain in the customs union. In other words, talk complete gibberish. Can you do that for me?
I'll give it a go. And now, to celebrate the NHS turning 69, a birthday message from Jeremy Hunt.
Hi, NHS. Congratulations on your special day. You are this country's great success story. I've been racking my brains as to what to get you for a present. I thought maybe 100,000 extra nurses or possibly a £22 billion cash injection, but no. I'm the health secretary and I know what you need. So happy birthday and enjoy the book token.
Welcome to The One Show. I'm Welsh, have you noticed?
Now, we've got a bit of a special One Show tonight, as we've just heard in the last few minutes that Kim Jong-un has read Donald Trump's tweet calling him a dumbass fat-neck loser with Lego hair.
And he was so cross, he's only gone and launched several thousand more of his brand-new intercontinental nuclear missiles.
And many of them are heading straight for the UK.
So, to commemorate the end of all life in Britain, we'll be devoting a whole third of our programme to the imminent apocalypse.
So, we've got Carol Kirkwood in the studio. Carol, what kind of weather can we expect when the missiles hit us?
Well, Alex and Matt, just fire and ash, a raining fire of death and a flaming cauldron of despair. We're looking at a nuclear winter that will last at least 30,000 years, so if you do go out, you may want to pop on an extra layer. You, Alex and Matt.
Oh, so as Carol says, we're going to die in a raining fire of death. And fired is also part of a well-known catchphrase. I can see you're way ahead of us.
Yeah, that's right. The apprentice is back and a star is here to plug it.
So, Lord Sugar, what shall we expect from the new series, eh?
Well, not a lot, because we're all going to get vaporised in the next 6 minutes. Cheerio.
Now, from Sugar to someone who's just as sweet, Giles Brandreth is with the good people of Kidderminster. Hello, Giles, what are you up to?
Hello there, I'm knitting a lovely tea cosy for the Queen, Alex.
Oh, very nice.
Not only a delightful gift for dear Elizabeth Regina, but it can also be used as a hat in case she gets radiation burns on her royal head.
Oh, that's terrific. OK, so next week we're going to be talking to a couple of giant cockroaches, because everyone knows the only thing that survives a nuclear winter are cockroaches.
And The One Show.
Bye. You have reached the answer phone of Theresa May. I can't come to the phone right now, as I'm hiding inside a stable.
Prime Minister, David Davis, your Brexit bulldog here. Was up early this morning to head back to Brussels to battle to slay the EU dragons. Had a few minutes to kill, so popped into duty-free. The master negotiator only spies a giant Toblerone. I'll give you £5 for it, not a penny more, I said. And the assistant starts blathering on something about it only costing £2, but... I wasn't budging. Stood me ground and I got it for £5. Well done me. Trouble was, all this master negotiating meant I was late for my flight. I rushed to the gate and the ground staff were all, wait, Mr. Davis, sir, this is the wrong flight. Ha-ha! Brexit bulldog coming through, I barked at him. Leave means leave. Up the gangplank, quick smart and on board just as it took off. Anyway, long story short, I've ended up in Vegas. I've just got married to a hooker called Sapphire. She's taken my wallet and my clothes and stuck my Toblerone up my arse. Please send money and anus hole. Brexit Bulldog out.
BBC Radio 4. Now it's the first in another series from Radio 4's resident American humorist as we meet David Sedaris.
Thank you so very much. I'd like to start tonight by reading from my diary. Thursday 15th, Hugh and I ventured out on a joint expedition to the department store. Shopping with Hugh is a fraught business, but one that I have learned over the years to endure. I had just spied a waste paper basket for our new bathroom when...
The shopkeeper said something slightly off-key and you smiled and nodded while secretly deciding to take your business elsewhere. Am I right?
Well, Alan Bennett? What are you doing here?
You know, I remember the first time I heard you on Radio 4. I thought to myself, well, now seems there's a new kid in town. He won't last. It appears I underestimated you.
Alan, what's going on?
Let's look at the facts. You're a clever, witty essayist who mixes touching reminiscences about his family with acute observations on the small absurdities of everyday life. Remind you of anyone?
What are you saying?
You've nicked my act, Sedaris. There can only be one purveyor of tart drollery on Radio 4, and that's me.
So what are you suggesting? We have a fight?
No, of course not. It'd look like two flamingos trying to make a sponge cake.
Or two walruses doing the cha-cha-cha.
Not bad, but I prefer mine.
So how are we going to settle this?
Same way I settled my feud with Victoria Wood back in 1993. With a good old-fashioned biscuit off.
A what?
One of us says the name and of an amusing biscuit. Then the other has to name a more amusing biscuit. What do you say?
Bring it on.
Right then, rich tea.
Jaffa cake.
Gypsy cream.
Fig Newton.
Garibaldi.
Bath Oliver.
Dorset Knob.
Oh, that was a low blow. Viennese finger.
Okay, time to bring out the big guns. Macaroon.
Is that fair? Everyone knows there's nothing in the world more amusing than Alan Bennett saying the word macaroon.
Victory is mine. Once more I stand supreme amongst wry raconteurs. And let this be a lesson to any would-be challengers. I am Bennett. Fear my whimsy. Yes, welcome back to Pestered on Sunday. We've heard celebrities giving eccentric names to their children, but now it seems politicians are getting in on the act. I'm joined now by new father, MP for North East Somerset and talking umbrella, Jacob Rees-Mogg.
That is outrageous, Peston. My children have perfectly normal names.
And that's why you named your newly born son Sixtus Dominic Boniface Christopher.
We're going to call him Privileged for short.
And you're not worried that he'll grow to resent you for giving him such a long-winded and old-fashioned name?
No, not at all. I think Sixtus is a very strong name. Puts you in mind of a Roman soldier.
Well, funny you should say that, because we're now joined via satellite by your newborn son.
My name is Sixtus Dominic Boniface Christopher Rees-Mogg, commander of the armies of the Night Garden. Loyal servant to the true emperor, Eagle Piggle. Owner of a ridiculous name, child to a ludicrous father, and I will have my vengeance. In this Moses basket or the next.
Now, calm down, Sixtus.
Father, I shall find you. Once I have dined on the milk of mother's breast, I shall avenge my name. Though you had better change my nappy first. I have unleashed hell.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Brexit Bulldog here, Prime Minister. I've had a few setbacks, but I've got Vegas in the palm of my hand. Well, I did, until I put the Isle of Man on red. Bloody roulette. Anyway, you know me, always bounce back from a setback, so I doubled down. I won't bore you with all the details, PM, but do I have permission to put the Shetlands up as collateral? Long story short, I'm being dragged into the back office to meet their boss, Tony the Sledgehammer Marinaro. Ah, oh, you'd be proud of me, Prime Minister. Brexit Bulldog wasn't going to be intimidated by a load of swarthy characters with knuckle dusters. The master negotiator swung into action. I've negotiated a deal to stop them killing me. The Mafia are very interested in entering into a power-sharing agreement. They are Catholics. I hope that doesn't queer the pitch. Oh, and they would insist on Benny the Weasel being Home Secretary. That's a win in my book. Anyway, long story short, I made a disparaging remark about someone's mum, and I'm in the trunk of a Lincoln convertible being driven out into the desert. Please help me, Prime Minister. My hands are tied, literally, with chicken wire. Brexit Bulldog out.
Welcome back to Wimbledon here on BBC One. We go over now to Martina Navratilova.
Thank you, Sue. There's been controversy this year over suggestions that women's tennis is less well represented than men's, which is why I've been sent to cover the crunch match between Venus Williams and world number one Angelique Kerber.
If we just head past center court here where the men are playing, then make our way down this alleyway, out the gates, around the back of these bins, over the A219, through the Budgeons car park, past the pile of burning mattresses, and into the back garden of Mr. Stevenson's bungalow. Oh, the match is already underway. Oh, look! One spectator's even managed to find his way in.
Boo! You suck! Boo!
Oh, so nice of John McEnroe to join us.
Ah, hello. You have reached the phone of President de la République, Emmanuel Macron.
Emmanuel, hon, it's the Govester here. Michel Gove. Now, you know, I'm le dernier person to stir up Bird, but I was just talking to the head of our fishermen. Have you met Captain Birdseye? Anyway, I was talking to him about whether it would be okay for the French to keep fishing in our waters post-Brexit, and I probably shouldn't say this, but he was like, no way, we hate the French, they steal all our British fish. And I was like, but their new president's not that bad, right? And he was like, actually, he's really weird, and he looks like someone who works in the Genius Bar who impersonates Napoleon in his spare time. And I was like, that's kind of true, but really rude. Anyway, we should definitely meet up soon. There's a bistro that's just opened by me. Apparently you have to try the coq au vin. Toodles, Legovich out. Mwah.
Hello and welcome to Gardener's Question Time. We're in Manchester this week, and on the panel we have Bob Flowerdew, Bunny Guinness, and our newest panel member, Hilary Mantel. Because the BBC are worried that even running the Wreath Lectures trails round the clock, there's still two people in Berkshire who haven't heard of that. And our first question comes from Mrs. Durridge from Lancashire. Mrs. Durridge.
I've got some problems with my hydrangea. It's looking very sad and quite a few have died.
Hilary Mantel.
I once had hydrangeas when I was a girl. In a garden in the past. But when I went back years later, they weren't there. And I thought to myself, were they ever there? Or was I ever there to see them not being there? Do you see what I mean?
No.
The sweep of history plays tricks on us. Were the hydrangeas there? The memory says yes, but one version of history might say otherwise.
No, I did plant them. I got the seeds at home base.
Or did you? Facts say no, but the mind creates an idealised fiction, a romantic time when you had hydrangeas, when in fact you had none.
Look. I came on this programme to get some advice.
Or did you? Perhaps you didn't come here at all and are remembering the moment like a lost Arthurian fable, a misty time when people sat in rooms and talked about gardening.
Right. Bonnie Guinness, any more practical advice for Mrs. Durridge and her hydrangeas?
I think I do, Eric. stop thinking of gardening in terms of a linear time frame, but moments which press forward to reveal truths about the plants, but also about ourselves and how those decisions reverberate through time. Or failing that, just water them more.
Oh, no. Oh. Spicer.
Sean, it's Donald. I need your help. It's a great big problem. So big, so great. I've made problems great again.
It's 4 a.m, sir.
I was watching television and I just saw that North Korea has launched a nuclear missile on the orders of Kim Kardashian.
No, sir, it's Kim. Actually, that's close enough.
What are my options, Sean?
Well, Mr. President, the important thing is that we don't make any hasty decisions.
I just sent a tweet calling Kim a big, fat, poopy head who only fires nukes because he can't get a girlfriend. #sad.
Yeah. Well, sir, that's at least opened up the line of communications.
Sean, can we get China to retaliate? They could send Godzilla.
Godzilla is Japanese, sir, and fictional. Now, we need to keep an eye on North Korea's nuclear program.
Nuclear program? Okay, what channel is it on, Sean? I'm flicking, Sean.
No.
I can't find it. I can't find it. Should I nuke him? I want to nuke somebody so bad, Sean. Right now, it's a toss-up between Korea and Meryl Streep. Sean, how about I go to Korea?
Korea? Which one?
You mean there's more than one of me? That is so great. That is fantastic. Which one has the nicest hair?
They both do, sir.
Sean, can you tell me a bedtime story?
Okay, well, there was once this big fat monster, and he wanted more than anything to be president.
Not that one. That's too scary.
People of Britain. I can't say how dismayed I am that a year after delivering his long-delayed report into the Iraq War, Lord Chilcot has claimed that I wasn't straight with the British people. The case for going to war was clear and presented to me by George Bush himself. And what a convincing presentation he gave me. That episode of Sesame Street was brought to me by the words war, the numbers 9 and 11, and the letters W, M and D. I set out the facts to the British people precisely as we had made them up. That we were all going to die at the hands of a raging nutter with WMDs coming out of his ears and a horrible moustache. And if you look at the footage of that time, you will see he did have a horrible moustache. It was no dislike. I stand by that claim. I am a man of peace, as I proved since leaving office, first as UN Middle East Peace Envoy, and now in my new role as head of Kim Jong-un's nuclear programme. A programme I am certain can deliver peace to any of the West's major capitals within 45 minutes or less.
Chancellor, I have Her Majesty the Queen on line one.
Oh. Your Majesty?
Mr. Hammond, one is just calling regarding my pay. I appear to have received an increase of 8%.
Yes, ma'am, and you're worth every penny.
Cut the smarm. I thought there was supposed to be a 1% cap on all public sector workers. Do you really think I'm 8 times more important than all those doctors and nurses and firemen and policemen?
Well, yes, ma'am. Obviously, they do stop terrorist attacks and, you know, pull people out of burning buildings and heal the sick and injured, but you... Well, I mean, you visit those sick people in hospital, don't you? And, you know, ask them questions and things.
I'd like to give my pay rise back, please.
Oh, no, you can't, ma'am. We put it in the Queen's speech.
Oh, yes, and you've been sticking to that very strictly so far, haven't you? I'll just have to work my pay rise off. Perhaps I could become a firefighter.
We don't need any more firefighters.
Or maybe a police officer.
We have enough police officers.
Or a midwife.
When could you start?
Hello.
Hello, I'm Nick Robinson, and you're watching Panorama, the show that takes the most serious and complex issues facing the world and thinks, half an hour should do it. Tonight, austerity. Who are the real victims? I spoke to some people who've been hit the hardest, like this 60-year-old from Westminster.
Yes, austerity really hasn't worked for me. It looks like I'm going to lose my job and my house. I'm just so vulnerable. I'm trapped in an abusive and controlling relationship.
Who are you talking to, Teresa?
No one, Arlene. No one. I've got to go.
I've also spoken to this man called George.
Yes, I ended up working 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 jobs just to survive.
Policies that were implemented years ago have only now taken their full effect on this man, who we're calling Nick Clegg.
Tuition fees went up despite several promises to the contrary. Consequently, I'm now on a 0 hours contract. I've got 0 hours of work to do. I just spend my days hanging around news studios, making vague comments about Europe and looking sad.
It's believed that austerity has caused so much inequality. Instead of helping the 1%, it now benefits just one man.
Look, I'm having a great time of it. Everyone in Britain is too poor to have a holiday, so Sam, Cam and I have got the whole beach to ourselves. I feel like a pig in... Actually, I'll just end that sentence on the word pig.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Prime Minister. It's your Brexit bulldog here. You remember how I was being driven out into the Nevada desert by 3 mafioso types? Anyway, they marched me from the car to the secluded spot and only hurled a shovel at me. They hadn't reckoned with the master negotiator. I'm not digging my own shallow grave with a shovel, I told them. I want a pneumatic drill or nothing. Long story short, after I finished digging the hole with my bare hands, I was in the dark and completely over my head, which reminded me, I've got to get back to Brussels and negotiate Brexit. Please send help. My phone's on 3%, there's soil in my pants, and I'm about to fight off 3 heavily armed men with my concealed Toblerone. Brexit bulldog out.
Dead Ringers was performed by John Colshaw, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Neff Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Harf, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, James Bark, Laura Major, Max Davis, Jack Bernhard and Lewis Cook. The producer and creator was Bill Dare, and it was a BBC Studios production.
And realities on the